Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master. Auckland, New Zealand, 1976. Steadiness and service. My family and I joined Prabhupada and his entourage, who were flying first to Auckland before continuing on to Lautoka, Fiji, and then to Honolulu. Alone with Prabhupada in the Melbourne airport, Prabhupada turned to me and asked, "Why are you leaving? Why have you decided to move?" I was quite surprised. I had been living outside the temple and was not able to serve in ISKCON full time. Now, Prabhupada seemed to be questioning, at the 11th hour, my attempt to take up more direct service. "But I asked you in Maya, poor Prabhupada. They wanted me to become temple president in Laguna Beach, and I asked you in Mayapur. You gave me permission to accept the position." Prabhupada's response paralleled the mood in which he had previously spoken. "Permission may be there, but why did you even want to leave?" My comment: what pleased Prabhupada? My analysis is that the essential ingredient in pleasing Prabhupada was steadiness, of course, steadiness in service, steadiness in bhakti, because then one makes advancement. When I could not remain in Hong Kong, I nevertheless was able to satisfy him by steadily, week by week, rendering service by sending donations. Prabhupada's basic desire for his disciples was that they serve steadily. Ultimately, steady service elevates one. Steady service will be more pleasing to our spiritual master than glowing but fleeting service. It shines brightly like a shooting star and then quickly becomes extinguished and disappears. What one devotee needs to continue serving may be different from another. Later on this same tour, Prabhupada wrote a purport, Bhagavatam 8.2.30, underscoring this point. One should situate himself in a position wherein he can most steadily continue his devotional service and cultivate Krishna consciousness. This is from Prabhupada's purport. In the fighting between the elephant and the crocodile, the difference was that although the elephant was extremely powerful, he was in a foreign place in the water. During 1,000 years of fighting, he could not get any food, and under the circumstances, his bodily strength diminished, and because his bodily strength diminished, his mind also became weak and his senses less powerful. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and therefore was getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. Now, from this we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. Our Krishna consciousness movement has actually declared war against the illusory energy, in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. The soldiers in this Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be the same for everyone. And therefore, there are divisions of Varnashrama: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is advised that no one takes sannyas. Asramedam Kavalamban Sanyasam Pala Paitrakam Devarena Satopatim Kalo Pancha Vivardayat Brahma Vivarta Purana. From this we can understand that in this age the sannyas ashram is forbidden because people are not strong. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us an example in taking sannyas at the age of 24 years. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be extremely careful because he had taken sannyas at an early age. For preaching, we give young boys sannyas. but actually it is being experienced that they are not fit for sannyas. There is no harm, however, if one thinks that he is unfit for sannyas. If he is very much agitated sexually, he should go to the ashram where sex is allowed, namely the Grihastha ashram. That one has been found to be very weak in one place does not mean he should stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, as we see Gajendra do, and at the same time, one can be a Grihastha if he is satisfied with sexual indulgence. There's no need to give up the fight. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommended stane stita srutigatam tanovan manobhi. One may stay in whatever ashram is suitable for him. It is not essential that one take sannyas. If one is sexually agitated, he can enter the Grihastha ashram, but one must continue fighting. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. If sannyas is not suitable, one may enter the Grihastha ashram and fight Maya with great strength, but one should not give up the fighting and go away. Just to encourage my disciples. Landing in New Zealand, Prabhupada was greeted by a roaring kirtan and a press conference. The interviewer said, "Well, what do you hope to achieve by your short visit to New Zealand, where you don't have a very big following at all?" Prabhupada, "Just to encourage my disciples. They're also trying their best to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So if I occasionally visit, they become encouraged. That's why." My comment. Prabhupada once mentioned that he had actually authored the many articles in his BTG magazine, although his different disciples had signed them. Similarly, Prabhupada was preaching throughout the world through his students. To ensure that the preaching will continue, he traveled constantly, despite his old age, and inspired his disciples to preach, act purely, and strictly follow the process. The potency of the holy names. Interviewer. "Well, I'm sure many New Zealanders would like to know the very reason why your followers chant the Hare Krishna chant in the street. What is the reason behind this?" Prabhupada. "Reason is that Hare Krishna, Krishna is the name of God. Krishna is absolute. God is absolute. God's name and God, there is no difference. That is the absolute idea. So if you chant Krishna's name, that means you associate with Krishna directly, God. And by associating with God, you become purified. You are now thinking, 'I am this body,' as the dog is also thinking. We now think, 'I belong to America, I belong to Australia, I belong to New Zealand, I, India.' These wrong conceptions will go away by chanting. Then we'll understand that I am not this or that. I am spirit, soul, part and parcel of God. Then real knowledge begins. And if we act accordingly, our life becomes successful. So this movement is not simply meant for you or me. It is meant for every intelligent human being." My comment. By their chanting in public, the devotees both purify themselves and allow others to benefit from hearing Krishna's holy name. Sanatana Goswami shaves his head. After the press conference, the devotees whisked Prabhupada to the Gribblehorst Road temple. The temple was filled to capacity when Prabhupada arrived. He greeted Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, the deities he had installed in 1972. Many chanters in the temple had long hair, and Prabhupada's arrival address made his desires clear. He told the story of Sanatana Goswami meeting in Benares with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And during that meeting, Mahaprabhu told Sanatana to shave off his long hair, beard, and mustache and look like a gentleman instead of a darvesh, a hippie. In a comment, Prabhupada knew about the tension between the two New Zealand groups, the regular temple devotees and the followers of Testa Krishna Swami. The temple devotees maintained Prabhupada's standard of shaved heads, while most of those living outside did not adhere to this practice. In his lecture, Prabhupada expressed his standard: disciples must keep their heads shaved. Okay, we shall end here. Hare Krishna.